different accounts, record infections. I'm Mike Moss. President Trump calls reports of Russian bounties on the heads of U.S. troops in Afghanistan fake news. The Secretary of State says it's been going on for years.
We responded in precisely the correct way with respect to making sure that our forces were postured appropriately.
Correspondent Bob Costantini reports the National Security Advisor says he has been working on the issue.
The President's National Security Advisor, Robert O'Brien, on Fox News, acknowledging there was some sort of swirling intelligence around the Russia paying Taliban militants to kill Americans theory. But it wasn't enough for the president to hear. O'Brien agrees.
The intelligence community did not have a consensus. And as a result, the president's career CIA briefer decided not to brief him because it was unverified intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, she's an outstanding officer. And knowing all the facts I know, I certainly support her decision.
The question remains, was the information, even without a consensus, part of the written segments of the president's daily briefing on some day? Bob Costantini, Washington.
More than 47,000 new virus cases, making yesterday the worst day yet during the pandemic in the U.S. Correspondent Randy Kaye reports the top U.S. health officials say unless steps are taken, things will get much worse.
The nation's top infectious disease expert giving this disturbing prediction.
We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, and so I am very concerned.
Dr. Anthony Fauci telling a Senate Health Committee that no section of the country is safe from the coronavirus.
U.S. manufacturing rebounded in June as major parts of the country opened back up, but home and commercial construction activity declined 2.1% last month. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 34, S&P advanced by 13 points. I'm Mike Moss.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this. 10. There it is. Nice work. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text ENERGY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ENERGY to 321-321. That's ENERGY to 321-321.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Hi, I'm Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. The 2020 election season is coming up fast. There's an important date to remember, July 6th. Why is July 6th so important? It's the voter registration deadline for the primary election on August 4th. Don't wait. Register to vote or update your voter registration online at arizona.vote. It's your source for trusted election information, including requesting a ballot by mail. Visit arizona.vote today.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 102, the high this afternoon, 75 overnight tonight, west wind at 10. Sunny and 101 on Thursday, winds at 15 miles per hour tomorrow, 77 tomorrow night. Friday, sunny and 105 and breezy. Saturday, 4th of July, sunny and 109, 80 Saturday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning, Yuma. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 AM KBLU. And on the phone, we have the Yuma County School Superintendent, Tom Tyree, along with the Yuma Union High School Superintendent, Gina Thompson. I'm Carol Brown, the chair of the Chamber's Ambassador Committee, and I'm the Program Development Manager for the Western Arizona Council of Governments, also known as WACOG. Welcome this morning, and we're going to say hello to Tom and Gina on the phone. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Carol. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Tom. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, Carol. Great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you, and thank you for joining us also. So, what I was probably going to talk about 2 days ago has changed drastically with a new executive order in place. So, Tom, I guess I'll start with you and say, wow, okay. I imagine some big changes are now coming with a postponement of starting school. Do you want to go ahead and share with us about that?
Well, yeah, I think, Carol, what you're sort of alluding to is the fact that school superintendents, all their staff, as well as parents, we're finding is that we're in a period of time that I think, first of all, is unprecedented in terms of what's going on in the United States and our own community with this pandemic. And the other thing is that we're learning we're having to be very, very nimble because as we prepare for the opening of school and we address it with maybe one series of facts or advisories or guides that we received from the governor or someone else, the Department of Education, then that quickly, as we've found out just recently, can very, very quickly turn or change, and we're adjusting again. So I think the good news is that since this has begun, that our school districts as a whole have worked very well together. We have been meeting all along to try to share information and to be as prepared as we possibly can be. Excuse me, to provide an environment for our students that, first of all, and most importantly, is safe. But secondly, is one that we can continue to provide them with an excellent education.
Thank you, Tom. I imagine the fluidity of this whole situation is just. Got you guys going 24/7 to...
Yeah. And obviously the big change that has just occurred is that the governor came out a couple of days ago and announced that the opening of schools were to be delayed until August the 17th, at least for instruction, kind of what we call bricks and mortar type of instruction work. In the traditional sense, where students come into our schools. So I think what we're doing is adapting to that. And at the same time, though, his guidance, his advisory, his executive order does say that schools can proceed with providing instruction online or virtually. And so I think that probably fits into the manner that most school districts have been planning on, which is what we would refer to as some sort of a hybrid type of instructional model where students will ultimately receive instruction in schools and once again in the traditional sense, but also that they will receive instruction virtually or online. And I think our school districts, our superintendents, including Gina Thompson, who's on with us today, are preparing for it.
Excellent. And Gina, let me ask you, I just happened to read the article in the paper this morning from our chief school official talking about, again, the possible fluidity of August 17th might not be the date either. So do you want to go ahead and speak to that in terms of now the plans that you could be making regarding, are you going to go all virtual? What does that look like if you have to actually postpone even longer than August 17th?
Sure. And again, just to echo what County Superintendent Tyree shared with the fact that, you know, we're all, as county superintendents, we meet virtually, regularly, and looking at best practices and best case scenarios. But we also all know that it does, one size will not fit for all of our families. So the work is ongoing. It's never stopped. As a matter of fact, there's so many different plans and what ifs and how abouts and looking at other places and what they offer and then what our resources are as a county and each district. So, you know, I think I'm most sensitive to the fact that everyone would like some kind of answer, but I am reluctant to provide a specific answer because the next day things change and then people are even more frustrated by that. So what we are all trying to do is look at the safest, not only for our schools and our students, but our entire county and our responsibility there, and maintaining safe and healthy environments for our students so that we can maintain a stronger Yuma County. We have been working together as superintendents to look at how we can meet everyone's needs to the best of our ability, knowing that everyone would just like to go back to what it used to be because that's what we know best, and that's starting school in person. And that's not what's going to happen on August 6th for us, obviously, but we are looking to provide answers for our families directly for what our options are.
And Tom, I think I'll check in with you on this. The 180-day issue for state funding. So if you have to start much later than you anticipated, what's going to happen with funding for our county?
Well, first of all, with respect to the 180-day requirement, one of the things that the governor has requested that the Arizona Department of Education do is that they do an analysis of what the impact on our educational system would be if we were not able to meet that 180-day requirement. So I think we're going to be taking a look at that, and I think along with that, though, there will be a discussion about if we have a delay, and I think people already have been considering this, but you know, how do we retain those 180 days, especially if we're going to start later, August the 17th in this case. So number one, I think one of the things that can happen is that there are certain holidays or periods of time that are built in to school schedule. So I think around the state, and as Superintendent Thompson just said a moment ago, one size does not fit all. And some of that has to do with the calendars that we have as well. So people may have different dates built in, different types of breaks, but the opportunity exists based upon what schools have built into their calendars for them to capture some of that time. So, for example, in some school districts across the state, and then this would include some, certainly in Yuma County as well, we have fall breaks. And we may have additional days that we built in for other holiday times of the season. You know, you might, as an example, you might have a you know, a three-week holiday built in around around Christmas time.
Tom, so, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and we are going to finish this up on the other side of the break because I want you to complete explaining that to us. You are listening to News Talk 560 KBLU, Chamber Chatter, back after the break.
Many of the drugs in your medicine cabinet can be traced back to China. When the coronavirus hit, our dependence on China for drugs and medical supplies led to critical shortages, putting seniors and families at risk. Senator Martha McSally is fighting to end our dangerous dependence on China. Senator McSally is working to get more drugs and medical supplies manufactured in the U.S. McSally's bill, S-3432, will get life-saving medicines made here again, safeguarding our medical supply chain and bringing back American jobs. Senator McSally makes clear we need to get tough on China.
We will hold China accountable and bring manufacturing home.
Call Senator Martha McSally at 602-952-2410 and tell her to keep working to pass S-3432. Keep fighting to get more drugs and medical supplies made in the USA. Tell Senator McSally, stay tough on China and bring back American jobs. Paid for by One Nation, OneNationAmerica.org.
The best way to stand tall while sitting down is on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. A lifelong dream in chrome, paint, and rubber. The end result to your hard work and dedication. Everywhere can be a destination when you've come this far. And there's always enough road out there to go further. This is what you waited for. And it's time to grab the road by the mile markers and go. Ride the dream on two big rumbling cylinders and make your mark on the road. Stop in today to Bobby's Territorial Harley-Davidson, 2550 East Gila Ridge Road in Yuma, where your dreams become reality.
KBLU News Talk 560 is in search of motivated individuals to join its radio and digital marketing team in the greater Yuma area. The ideal candidate will have an interest in helping our business customers succeed, have the desire to be successful, the curiosity to find out more. Computer skills, problem solving, creativity, and dedication are all required. Sound like a fit for you? Apply online by sending your resume to HireMeNow at edbroadcasters.com or go to our website, edbroadcasters.com, and click on Careers. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
And we are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. On the phone, we have Tom Tyree, the Yuma County School Superintendent. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning again. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome. Glad you're with us. And we also have the Yuma Union High School Superintendent, Gina Thompson. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Carol.
Thank you for joining us this morning. And Tom, I'm sorry you were right in the middle of talking about an important part of this subject with school starting and what that means to our possible state funding or loss of funds for our county. So please pick back up where you left off.
Okay, thank you. Well, maybe to go back just a little bit even before that, you know, the state law requires that schools be in session for 180 days. There's also contained within that, depending upon different grade levels, there's also a requirement for how many total minutes or hours that they are to be in session as well. So that's been built in, and over the years, that number of days has increased from 175 at one point in time, for example, some number of years ago until the 180 days that we are in today. So anyway, what the governor's asked is that the Department of Education take a look at the impact of, that it would have on schools if we had to reduce that. And I was just explaining that, first of all, that the schools, because of the later date, may be able to capture some of those days or maintain the 180 days by maybe adjusting their calendars and maybe not having quite as long breaks. Or I guess the other thing could be that in the end, that the schools could maybe also be in session longer on the other end of the calendar. But I think the importance of the request of the governor is that, so with all those things in mind and with the possibility, and you said earlier that we are in a very fluid situation, I think you have to contemplate, or the governor's contemplating, and other policymakers are contemplating, that it is possible that if we have another outbreak or we have to adjust again, we just may not be able to get 180 days in regardless. And so the request on the part of the governor is for the Department of Education to assess what the impact of that would be. What does it mean as it relates to education? And so I think everybody at this point in time is taking a look at their calendars. And I think, once again, as I said earlier, the key is that we be as nimble as possible as we pivot from one direction to another as we are presented with a new set of facts. As Superintendent Thompson said just a moment ago, that, you know, we're trying, you know, people want answers. We're trying to give best answers, and that's based upon the information that we have. But I guess I have to emphasize the information that we have at this time, because it's rapidly changing. What you hear people say is that the coronavirus is a novel virus, which is to say that, you know, it keeps presenting new information or new facts to us all the time. And what we're trying to do is adjust to that as best we can.
Thank you so much, Tom. Gina, I want to ask you about this, because as I'm out in the community, and I will preface, I'm a grandmother. I'm not a mom at home with small children. So as a grandma, my focus is a little different from my grandchildren's learning process and their needs. But for you and your district, what options are currently on the table for the learning process as we do start school back up?
Sure. So for Yuma Union High School District, we have continued the work to be better at delivery of the personalized learning via the virtual platform. We use Canvas as a learning management system, and our teachers have had ongoing professional development since prior to closure, but definitely even more since closure. So we look at offering the coursework via distance learning through the methodology of Canvas, where the teacher posts lessons and is accessible to students in that way. We are also looking at the hybrid model that was given permission to through the initial order, with looking at a hybrid model where students would come in different days of the week, and how that could potentially be an in-person instruction model, and also meet the needs of parents who choose for various reasons not to send their students to campus every day, or even continue just receiving instruction virtually through their teacher and posting on Canvas. And then finally, for Yuma Union High School District, we actually have had for many years, I think we're going on 10 or 11 years now, we have Yuma Online Distance Academy. And that allows any family to register their child for a complete virtual option and an online learning platform and still be a part of Yuma Union High School District, and be able to receive guidance from guidance counselors on best courses to take that would contribute to the journey towards graduation. So for the high school district, I think we have many possible pathways, and now looking at how to offer those to parents in as much of an individualized fashion as we can, considering our very large high school population.
So with those options, were you still looking at an earlier date to get going and start with the virtual process, or are you going to be shooting for August?
We are considering an early start date, or our regular start date of August 6th. And I think there's a whole nother piece that we don't talk about enough, because, you know, our main concern is safety and the priority of our students' learning. But to have the best learning environment, you have to have the best teachers and the best staff. And I believe we have that, but they all also have families. They all also have certain health situations. And then let's not forget that Yuma County is a place where we hire from many miles away to bring people to Yuma, Arizona, in order to become a part of our community and our community of educators. So we are looking at honoring those contracts and honoring work agreements
in order to keep the best teachers and the best staff that we can possibly have for our students. So those are all employer considerations that are beyond even the teaching and learning piece, but have to receive a very high priority. And again, just to jump outside into the human aspect, everyone has family, everyone has issues that have been affected by COVID-19, and everyone is just trying to do the best work. So I think remembering that the human aspect is everywhere and alive and well in public education, that's what makes public education so powerful, is relationships and working towards everyone, every student learning at their best potential. But we have to also consider the needs of staff and faculty.
Absolutely. I do want to ask you, on the blended teaching option where they're in the classroom, how many days a week would that be?
We've looked at a couple models, and we've had a few focus groups look at that. We also have a student focus group. We're looking at a potential, based on some other work from CDC and, different health care professionals, and I have to do a shout out for Diana Gomez, always, from Yuma County Health Department. She is a gem. But we're looking at potentially 2 days a week and trying to look at that so students can receive instruction directly from teachers when we are allowed to go back, if that is the appropriate model, and have a break day in between where teachers continue to deliver instruction and work with their teachers distance-wise, and perhaps bring in another cohort of students. So trying to look at maybe half of the student body at a time, but that has not been solidified yet because we're really not sure what that will look like come August 17th or whatever day is next.
Have you been able to put out a survey yet to parents, students, staff regarding
Yes.
the opening of school?
Yes, and it's definitely diverse, and everyone has their different needs. It's even completely diverse by campus, so I don't have those numbers in front of me, but the results, for example, from Yuma High, parents and students may look different than those from COFA, for example. So we're a very large county with very individualized needs and different pockets of interest, so we're considering all of those survey results. And again, those are used for information, knowing that we cannot possibly, we don't want a one-size-fits-all, but we also know that we are looking to just do the best work we can with our own resources.
And Tom, do you know if all of the other districts have had an opportunity to do the same with their students, family members, staff, to get feedback?
I think maybe the one of the keys to the information that Superintendent Thompson just shared is the issue of communication, and once again, cooperation and collaboration with all of our stakeholders. First of all, I have to agree with Gina's comment about Diana Gomez, who's the director for the Yuma County Health Department. And so just as an example and a reflection of how we try to approach things, our superintendent's group had asked that Diana participate with us in one of our virtual conferences so that she could provide us with the best science and health data as possible to help us, help drive decisions that we make. So that's an important part of the process, but a really key part that I want to emphasize that, Gina had just shared with you was the communication that needs to take place between our schools and our parents and the community as a whole. What the decisions that we make impact the citizens of Yuma County on a lot of different levels, even beyond that of the parents themselves. So I think that what we are hearing and what has been shared with us as we as superintendents have met together is that that our schools are reaching out to our parents to ask them for their input as to what it is that their needs are, and then in turn we're trying to loop back out or communicate back to them at this point in time, what some of our options are. And but once again, I think what we're saying here is that this is a very, very fluid situation, so that is going to continue to evolve.
And that's great. Tom, I'm going to cut you off again. We're getting ready to go into break. We're going to dig in a little deeper when we get back, also talk about chamber events coming up. You are listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 AM KBLU.
This is Steve Montenegro, and I've been honored to represent Yuma in the legislature, whether it was protecting Yuma's water, standing up for the agriculture interests of our whole district, helping to land the veterinary school, increasing highway funds, or advocating for our military bases and veterans. I've been involved in Yuma for nearly a decade now. You have two state house seats, and I'd be honored if you cast one of your votes for Steve Montenegro to fight for Yuma jobs, to cut taxes and regulations, to fund Yuma schools, and to get more dollars into the classrooms, to protect life and the family, and to defend our constitutional freedoms. I've been awarded Friend of the Family and Hero of the Taxpayer Awards because I don't just campaign as a conservative, I vote like one. I have a perfect record on life, school choice, and the Second Amendment. And as a 2016 delegate for Donald Trump, you know I support an end to illegal immigration and a real border wall so that the good guys can come and go while the bad guys get stopped once and for all. Visit SteveMontenegro.com to get involved, and thank you for allowing me to serve you. Paid for by Montenegro for House.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. On the phone, we have Tom Tyree, the Yuma County School Superintendent, and we have the Yuma Union High School Superintendent, Gina Thompson. Good morning to both of you. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you, Carol, and thank you for having us on your program this morning so we can talk about something that's really obviously important to everybody, which is the education of our young people.
Absolutely. So I'm going to share just a little bit of information regarding chamber events, and we're going to get right back into it. For upcoming events for the chamber, Good Morning Yuma is going to be virtual via Facebook. That's going to be Thursday, July 9th at 7 a.m., sponsored by and hosted by Academy Mortgage. The program will be Paul Brierley. He's of the Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture, and he's going to be talking about taking ag to the next level. So we've been doing the virtual Good Morning Yuma via Facebook for a few months now, and we are so appreciative of the sponsors that get behind us to be able to accomplish this and to be able to still get the message out, supporting our businesses and our community with information that is needed, especially during this time. So please plan on Thursday, July 9th, 7 a.m. Get tuned in on Facebook. Join us. Say hello so we know you're there. And we look forward to hearing to what Paul Brierley has to say. And stay tuned, because we'll have more things coming up as we progress through the summer and into the fall for the chamber. So let's get back to that. We were talking about the communication factor of sending out the surveys. Let me ask you this, going forward now, because obviously a bit of a curveball's been thrown, and although I'm sure the communities understand that we have to be fluid with everything, but I can also imagine that parents are probably a little concerned right now about how to plan going forward. When are my children going to be able to go back to school, or when will that start date be, and how is the best way for me to find out what's happening? So let me ask you first, Gina, what's that going to look like for parents? What's their best resource to keep up to date with what the plans are going to be for their children to return to school?
So we're looking to put out weekly updates starting next week, and we'll be actually putting something out this week, giving parents, information as quickly as we can. We I know many families like to have something in the mail, but it's been a real challenge to even know how and what to communicate. By the time you receive one update, it feels like things have changed within 24 or 48 hours, or information is forthcoming. And so it's, you know, we don't want mail or even emails to get crossed and people wondering which one is correct. So we're going to work our darndest to put out something weekly and work with our partner districts. I feel very fortunate to work with the superintendents throughout Yuma County so that people can understand what the current look and feel is, and have the most up-to-date information weekly going forward to the start of school. But in addition to that, the campuses and the schools are still, for Yuma Union High School District, they have never officially closed. Phone lines have been put in through computer, the virtual situation. So if you call a landline at the school, it would be connected to either a secretary or an assistant or an administrator or a counselor. So I know that is not always a perfect communication stream, but if the messages can get to those folks, that's probably the best case. We also have a pretty robust website. We try to put, we do put all of our up-to-date information, including the FAQs for parents and families, the most up-to-date information, and then you can directly go to your own campus website for any individualized information. Campus principals are continuing to do their own Facebook Live, and campus counselors, guidance directors, they will all be returning July 14th as well to be ready and positioned to answer parents' questions that they may have. And again, I look to more information, coming out more regularly now that we know what that executive order, and then the next, even though we pushed the start of school to the 17th in person, doing our best to provide lessons ahead of time in our regular start date of August 6th.
Tom, how about for the rest of the districts? What would you say is their most common way of communicating now with parents with updates of what's going to be going on for their children?
I think very similar to what Gina just described. I think you are seeing electronic messaging that's going out. The newsletters are going out. You've got focus groups that are going out. There's a lot of dip-sticking, as I like to say, as we are trying to really make sure or ensure that communication is a two-way type of a communication. So I think there's a lot of consistency in that. There again, that may vary a little bit from one part of our county to another. If you live out in East County and some of the really rural areas out there, people may not have access electronically to their school district as much as you might see here in Yuma. But if that's the case, then we still have telephones, and we still have the ability to send things, mailers and things like that out. So I think it's any and all of the above, and it really, I think each of the districts understand what is the best way to communicate with their community, and they're trying to do something that provides communications, to everyone. Carol, I think I'd like to say, and I think this kind of captures what Ms. Thompson and all our school districts are saying is that, these are very, very challenging times that we're in, but I think there's always opportunity or silver lining, as they say, in these kinds of things that are presented to us. So one of the things that's happening is that our school district, as a result of their response to the issues that have been presented to us, is that we are providing more choice to our students. I think there was a time that if you didn't sit in that nice, neat, round block, that old thing about, a round peg going in a square block or vice versa, if you didn't sit just right in that, then you sometimes you were forced to go somewhere else. that's not the case now. You know, people do have a choice within their respective school districts, and so we have an opportunity here to try to address the best learning possibilities that our students have, and or provide that to them, I should say. And so what we are able to do is we are able to provide them that choice. So if, you know, I still believe that the best way for most people to be educated is coming into our schools and our bricks and mortar types of instructions, they say. But I also believe that with the online, the virtual kinds of learning we do, and then how we're learning to do that. Our teachers, because of the professional development that's offered to them through our school district, they are becoming much, much better using these online platforms. And so learning that is happening virtually is being maximized now as well. So I think that is the silver lining in this, and it's the opportunity that our schools have to reach out and to educate students in a lot of different ways.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you sharing that. Gina, I do have a question for you, specific to some of the concerns that our parents and family members probably have for our students going back to school, and then for your staff. So what is what does the situation look like for PPE for your school? Are you being provided with everything that you're going to need going forward?
Are we being provided for? We school districts are responsible for ordering their own PPE. We don't have things shipped necessarily, but again, I want to thank Diana and also Susan with the Yuma County. They've both reached out with their supply chain that they have and looked to see what we were having difficulty filling in our orders of PPE, so that they could also provide some help for us. Again, that's, you know, part of the wonderful part about being in Yuma is that people reach out and work together for that. As far as PPE itself, that's an expense. That's something that school districts have to order on their own as well. And so we've been doing that and inventorying and continuing to order from every single vendor that we could possibly find since the school closure. But school districts, new monies, just, you know, as a point, the new monies don't come out until after July 1st. And we obviously are applying for the CARES funding as well as FEMA funding. But all of that also is an application process. So it's, again, all these parts are moving at the same time, and they all take people at different levels in organizations, and that's across every single school district. So there, we all know the supply chain has not been there for this whole time of school closures, and as we're looking for returning to learning, but I know that we are getting shipments regularly and from various vendors, and appreciate the different vendors in the county as well that have stepped up with that.
I'm pleased to hear that you've got resources to help you with this, because I know in Yuma County we were hearing about the challenges with various industries of not being able to get PPE when it was needed, not being able to get that hand sanitizer or those Clorox wipes or the gloves, masks,
right,
whatever was needed. So I think parents are probably a little concerned about that too, is will you have the supplies needed to protect everyone while they're on campus? So I'm glad to hear.
We believe we will have those supplies, and we believe that all of that we have been ordering them regularly and bringing those in. And again, we are also looking at how to use those supplies in the best way possible and the most efficient way possible to make sure that every classroom's ready every day and every period.
What if the students themselves don't have their own PPE that they're bringing in? Is that something the school can be able to assist with?
Yes. When we are able to go back to being present, looking, you know, in person, we're supplying every classroom with all of the cleaning supplies, and we will be asking people most likely for masks at school, again, with high school students. For us, an easier an easier way. I know for the little sometimes I can't imagine. But, you know, that's something that we would ask parents to really start having those conversations at home as we look at down the road coming back in person and wanting to stay open.
Gina, I'm going to cut you off for just a few minutes. We're going to have to go into a break, but we're going to pick this back up. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 AM KBLU.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, exclusively offering Hercules tires. A new level of performance and versatility. All-weather on- and off-road strength and durability. More security, more control, more stability. Longer lasting, outstanding warranty, and road hazard protection. Get your Hercules tires at any of the four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations. Or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com to choose the perfect tire. Pay online and schedule your installation appointment. Free pickup and drop-off for a hassle-free experience. Guaranteed.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. On the phone, we have Tom Tyree, our Yuma County School Superintendent, and we have Gina Thompson, our Yuma Union High School Superintendent. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Once again, good morning to you, Carol. Thanks again for having us.
We really appreciate your time today, knowing that probably your days go 24/7 trying to plan out everything that needs to happen going forward for the coming school year. I will mention right now, just briefly, I was speaking with our director for the Head Start program, which is governed over, by Wake Hogg, and she was sharing much of the same thing that you've been talking about today, that they're having to function in a very fluid format, understanding that things are changing day by day, sometimes hour by hour, and they're looking to start classes August 24th, if that's going to be possible. So some of the steps they're taking with the little ones is limiting the class size. They're going to change the structure of how parents will be dropping off the children safely, looking at remote learning for children that have at-risk health conditions. They're looking at specific sanitizing machines for the centers, masks for the children and the staff. Of course, the same we were just talking about, the PPE being available, increased disinfecting and cleaning. And they're going to have to suspend some of the activities that used to go on in the Head Start program in order to protect the children, like toothbrushing, family-style meals, and in-person home visits for the foreseeable future. It's very fluid there, too, but at every age, our children who are needing and wanting to learn, parents who want to have their children involved in that environment, there's just a lot of challenges and concerns going on for the health and safety of everyone involved. So, Gina, please continue on. I know you were trying to finish up talking about the PPE for staff and students and all the steps that you're taking.
Sure, and recognizing that the ordering and getting the supplies here has been ongoing since school closure for Yuma Union as well as our partner districts. But, you know, we also recognize that our families don't have access to all the PPE that's necessary as well. Once we come back to in-person instruction, whatever that may look like. So we know that it's our responsibility to have that inventory available and ask people for their help and support in using the PPE appropriately And that's all part of our planning as well.
I can remember for years, as the grandparents, we would normally buy our kiddos their school supplies. And some of those things on that list is hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes, Kleenex, paper towel, the things that you need to have in those classrooms that those teachers need to have available. And I'm imagining it might be a little bit tougher for the parents or grandparents, guardians, to provide those supplies to the school like they normally would.
Yes, and we really want home to be the safe environment and don't want people to feel that they need to send those items to school if they can even find them. I have noticed that the store supply chains are starting to become more available as far as cleaning and disinfecting supplies, but it's still a cost for some of our families, and just an availability and an access piece. So we will provide what we can provide, and if families have the ability to have their child with kind of that little go kit, that go bag in their backpack of hand sanitizer and wipes and their masks, then we appreciate that as well. But this is going to take all of us working together. And we're not, we want our students to feel safe and our families to feel safe. And again, it's going to take all of us. So there's no one magic answer for health and safety, just like there's no one magic answer for what's going to work for learning.
Absolutely. Let me ask, I'm going to ask both of you, Tom first. One of the other questions that has come up in the community that I've been hearing is the concern for the students who need technology in their homes in order to do the virtual learning, and also internet issues. Do you want to go ahead and speak to that? I know Governor Ducey's been trying to work on the internet concerns so that students who are in more rural areas will have access.
Sure. You know, that is a challenge and issue across the state, and some of that exists here in Yuma County. You have a number of different issues that all relate to that. First of all, in order for you to be able to have access to these virtual learning platforms that our schools are providing, you need to have internet access. And so there are families that may live in an area where they don't have that access to. We do not have across the state of Arizona the infrastructure that we need in order to do that. So we have to work around that a little bit. That's why you might see in one part of the county, in a very, very remote area, you might actually see packets of information going out to assist in instruction because some people don't have access to the internet. So how we get around that? Well, as you say, Governor Ducey is trying to work on a way to provide that access, and I think that what we're seeing is federal and state dollars that are being pushed out to try to provide that infrastructure for us. In the meantime, though, because it's not going to happen overnight, we have to do other things. And so one of the things that these days, it's a term that we hear a lot of, is are creating what we call hotspots, where a student or students can go to a particular area, and if they have an individual device of some sort, they can go there and they can pick up their connection that they need. So we just need to find different ways, to do that. We continue to address that as best we can, but it certainly is an issue that we have to address and deal with.
And Gina, what about the technology piece? What about students who say, I don't have a computer, I don't have an iPad, I don't have technology to actually get my assignments and do the work? Is there a way to assist those students?
I would add, equity of access is nothing new. The pandemic has essentially brought a lot of things to light that public school systems have been ongoing talking about and attempting to solve for years. So I think looking at the fact that what is being highlighted here is that there is not an equity of access for many reasons. And I do want to say, however, that Yuma County has had some people working very hard over the years. This is not something that's going to be fixed overnight. There is always an investment to these kinds of things. And Yuma County has made an ongoing investment in that with not only the work, but the committees. Loved speaking with Mark Smith earlier in the, you know, the spring. We have a consortium that we share with District 1 that provides huge bandwidth to us and huge service to us. So with not having access is something that we've been working on for many, many years. As far as the devices, we will have to reverse engineer, if you will, the way that we picked up all of our laptops and our Chromebooks and our items and look at a disbursement method that will be activated on each campus. I can't speak for the other districts. I know they're working very hard to provide all of those things as well, but it is a huge organizational process, as anyone can imagine. But we really don't want the lack of having the device if there is an access piece in the home, if it's the device that we're all trying to provide to them. And again, recognizing that that was also part of a supply chain issue, starting in the spring, and that's when we all order.
If someone wants to help, if there is a business out there, an organization out there that would like to help students be equipped and be able to function learning virtually, is that something that they can connect with the school districts on? Tom, I'll send that over to you. What do you think? Is that possible?
You know, the answer to that is yes. All school districts have a process where if people want to assist or help, they can do that. School governing boards typically in their governing board meetings have, you know, anything that's donated or accepted by school districts, they have to go through a process where the board accepts and approves that, and that does take place. By and large, though, school districts, the purchasing of those particular items and the things that students need, by and large, that the school districts are the ones that are responsible for doing that. And we're hoping that, as I think Gina mentioned earlier, we're hoping that there's some federal dollars that will be made available to us to, you know, help us with that process. You know, the other thing I want to make a little bit of a plug here. We've had a campaign in Yuma County for a number of years now in conjunction with the Yuma Regional Medical Center Foundation Office, and now with United Way, where we've had our drive for school supplies, where we provide students with backpacks and supplies that they're given when they return to school. I was thinking about that when you were talking about some of the sanitizers and wipes and things like that. It's kind of interesting because as we have talked about that, in that effort, one of the things we recognize now is some of the things that we put in the backpack now are going to be different than what we've done before. Most of it's been pretty much learning types of things, or I think typically we provide toothbrushes and things like that, but I think we're going to see some more of that, the PPE kind of things go in those backpacks as well. And so that's another example of how people in Yuma County can assist or help our students by contributing to that particular campaign.
Thank you, Tom. That's good news. Yes, that's going to be happening in August. I think it's August 17th or 18th at the Civic Center. Is going to be the back-to-school rodeo, and the backpacks will be handed out. I can't believe how fast the time has actually gone. Both of you, thank you so much for the information that you have provided today. I think we could go another hour easily, but unfortunately, we're not going to be afforded that time. So I do thank you for coming on today, sharing the information, helping our parents and family members understand what's going to be going on for school this year. And I appreciate being able to fill in for John today. He's on a well-deserved vacation. He'll be back next week. You have been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 AM KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.